Hello, I'm Eric Carlson, also known as Barra. Have you survived the horror? You're listening to the Only Knowing Tonight's podcast. Welcome.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Jay.
And I'm Michelle.
And I'm Trey.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And actually, that's not Trey, that's Eat to Surf, Dave. So Dave, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, dude.
Dude.
How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm all right.
Doing pretty good. It's been a crazy week.
I'm filling in for Trey so that he can get ready to go, across the ocean?
Yes, Trey is preparing to go on a trip to Thailand, and he will be gone for a couple of weeks, and he's getting ready for that right now. So I wished I could go with him because I've always wanted to go over there. That'd be exciting.
Is there any surf?
What's that?
Is there any surf there?
I have no idea. You know, as a person living in Arkansas, which is, by the way, is landlocked, we know very little about surfing here.
But lots about, what, pigs? Is that the Razorbacks?
Yeah. Skiing, we could probably talk skiing, but not surfing.
In Arkansas.
Ski on mud.
I say I lived in Colorado. What?
That's just water skiing, not snow skiing.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I was trying to figure out how to do swimming in Neverwinter Nights 1. But
oh, that would be cool.
I don't think it's possible, is it?
I don't think it is with the way it lays.
You can get them an animation where they're laying down and moving their arms, and you... It kind of works, but yeah, anything's possible. Serious. But
I don't understand why the games don't have swimming and stuff like that to begin with, or jumping. Jumping would be nice.
They have it. There's a pack where you can jump, fly, swim.
I'll just say this, Michelle, because it's hard.
Because they didn't want to do it.
If you remember the interview where they were talking about horses and mounts.
Yes.
Ben Whitehoosie, I think, is who Trey was talking to on that one. And it was like, it was hard. They didn't want to see another horse at all, ever. Well, Michelle, let's tell them about some events we got going on. You have been working on putting something together, and I don't have all the details, but it's going to be pretty exciting.
Okay, we have Modules in Development Live, and it is we have a huge panel of modders developing Neverwinter Nights 2 player-made modules, and we are going to be doing it on February 10th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be on TalkShoe, and our listeners and whoever else wants to come join can listen to the recording, the actual discussion, ask questions, make comments, and I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
So if you'd like to be involved with that, we'll get the dates again in the show notes. But we are going to be using a service called TalkShoe, so you just go to TalkShoe.com. You'll need an account there. But the fun thing about that is it allows us as podcasters to be able to record all the audio conversation. This is going to be like taking your IRC channels, chats, or your scheduled chats to the next level. We're going to be on there with real live audio. We're going to be talking to these guys, and they're going to be talking back to us. We're obviously not going to let everybody into once to talk to them, but we will have the ability for you to ask questions via chat window and can mute and unmute people that have the ability to have a headset and talk back with us. So we can let you ask your questions live. So it's kind of taking this to a new thing. We wanted to kind of bring more of you, the listeners, into what's going on in the show. And we've actually thought about doing just our regular show recordings this way so you can hear everything that goes on in the background. You think the bloopers are good? You should hear the stuff that winds up on the cutting floor.
I'd also like to add that Johnny Reed did a fantastic sketch, and we will be releasing the ad with the ID number for the show, the date, time, everything, probably tomorrow.
Yep.
Cool.
That's going to be fun. So mark your calendars for that one. Another one coming up, we're going to be doing something very similar to that. I'm getting the BioWare community reps together into a round table so that we can ping questions off of them and see what exactly it is that they do. So I think that will be an exciting one, too. So hopefully it'll generate as much feedback as our last episode did.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anytime you ping somebody, that's going to get feedback.
Well, I hope so.
Well, we have 45 comments in the feedback for episode 42. I think yes. It's a record.
By the way, don't censor me.
Yeah. And the Neverwinter Nights podcast is being blocked in multiple states and countries as we speak.
Oh, but at least somebody did thank France for the statue.
We're going to have to up our rating to mature.
That was me, by the way.
Yes, I know. That's why I said that. Okay.
Well, my kid's, kindergartner, and they're learning about Statue of Liberty right now. So everything works together.
Well, I tell you what, it was a great discussion to follow. I really enjoyed it. And if you feel like being enlightened to what's going on over here in the U.S., go read the comments for episode 42.
And then you'll know what's happening in the U.S.
Yeah, well, at least in the parts of it that really want to not to know about it because they're censoring everyone.
Don't go to CNN. Go to Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
We're not just a podcast about a game. We've got international news, too.
Because everything is Neverwinter Nights. And if you feel inclined, click the donate button.
Create the new country, Neverwinter Nights country.
So we could bring you more late-breaking news.
Hey, and we can mispronounce all the terms. So
yes.
Well, Michelle, you remember a couple episodes back where we interviewed Ben Whitehusey and Tony Denadario about the Academy of Modding Excellence?
I certainly remember the butchering of his name.
Well, yes. Yeah, I'm getting better at it, if you notice.
Yes, you are. Practicing.
So they are frantically trawling through the 2007 submissions and are getting ready to start the Golden Dragon Award cycle.
Oh, neat.
Cool.
They are actually including Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 in this round. So, I mean, I thought Neverwinter Nights 1 was a huge task. Adding Neverwinter Nights 2 to it with the 2 to it? Boy, that's going to be hard to say in the future. Adding Neverwinter Nights 2 as well is going to make it even more so because we're starting to see some really good modules being genned for Neverwinter Nights 2 coming out right now. So,
well, what do I do to be considered, Jay?
Nothing.
Well, you there you go. I'm good at that.
Now, they're actually taking care of all that. They're looking at, unless your work's been in beta, then it's filling, you'd be considered if it was in beta, but if you've released a final version in January, then they're going to be good. And they're looking at everything on the vault and taking it from there. So if you've posted it to the vault to be downloaded in that time period that they're looking at, you're in. So
what if I posted it in January and I'm updating it before the end of January, but I didn't have it posted in 2007 at all, in any version?
Well, I'll just put this way. They're considering any work that was submitted from the game launch in 2006 and any work that was submitted to the vault in 2007 or works that were submitted earlier but remained in beta until that time.
Gotcha. So my Jack and the Beanstalk has nothing to do with it.
Well, it could still be in for the 2008 awards. This is for the 2007 Golden Dragon Age awards.
There
but
you
yeah,
go.
The 2008 awards, you're still up for that.
What if I cross the international date line?
Then I'll have to refer you to Ben Whitehusey to get that clarified.
Thank you much. Thank you. Just trying to be clear here.
Have your people call his people.
Well, it depends if you crossed the international date line before or after you released it.
I don't remember. There was some strange ritual as we went over the line that had to do with keel hauling and stuff.
I don't understand any of that either.
Neverwinter Nights Spotlight RK Placeables Pack V2 has been released. Hall of Fame modder Lord Rosencrantz has updated his RK Placeable Pack setup.
This is where it all happens.
which has a ton of trees, statues for your modules. There are several new Neverwinter Nights screenshots and additional info available on the vault.
Yeah, trees. What is this with trees and Neverwinter Nights too? When you can't rotate them?
That's crazy. Yeah, I can say there's lots of tough stuff about trees, so it's good to see someone trying to fix some of those. And then we've got some news about some guy named Dave Crawwell, Neverwinter Nights module, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Hey, that's me. But you can call me Kroll.
Hey, that's it. Right. Kroll?
Sure. Go ahead, butcher my name.
Hey, that's what we do. We do what we do best, you know?
I feel honored. I'm honored.
You're right up there with everybody else.
Yeah, I just released that, Saturday or Sunday last week, whatever, the 18th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I got a lot of downloads right away and actually some feedback right away and had a disaster as I uploaded it, but it's all working good now. And actually have another update coming probably by the time this airs.
And you have a score of 8.08 for 3 votes right now.
Not bad.
Yeah, it went down because I just got a 6. The guy was playing and I guess he attacked the animals and his mom, Jack's mom, didn't like that. And
well, duh. Why is he calling that?
Well, you know, Jack's mom attacked Jack, so I fixed that. and she wouldn't have done it if he didn't attack all the animals. But,
exactly.
You know.
It's causing the faction engine to kind of get out of whack. And
actually, he gave me a really good score, a good review. The score was for simplicity. So he said the module was pretty simple, but it is.
Well, didn't you design it to play with your children, kids?
Hey. Well, yeah, I'm not going to go there and talk about a commenter like that, you know. Yeah. He gave me some really good feedback, so.
Oh, great.
I'm changing.
No, I like
yeah, it is designed to be simple. If people actually want to, you could actually put the difficulty levels on really hard and the giant may be able to kill you. I don't think he could, but.
Well, I think you put it pretty clearly in your description. It said, this is a classic tale brought to the Neverwinter Nights universe. Is assured to be a fun diversion for an adult, but especially made to help introduce kids to Neverwinter Nights.
Which is why I have to make it so if you attack the animals, Jack's mom doesn't go medieval on you.
Right. Well, I think it's great. Do you plan on doing more kids' fairy tales type modules, or is this just a one-time experiment? Or?
Well, my kid's 5, my oldest, so I'm probably going to do more. And actually, after the feedback I got on the release, I went back and put in some really cool stuff up in the Giant's Castle and stuff, which it's all going to be really cool for kids. So, yeah, I'm stoked about that.
Dude.
Trey came up and told me about that you'd release this module, and he goes on and on about it. And I was just sitting there with my jaw sitting on the table, and he looks at me kind of funny because during the release, or actually the beta of the tool set for Neverwinter Nights 2, he and I were talking about what should we do, and I'm like going, well, I don't know what to do because I don't have a storyline. I said, why don't we just do fairy tales?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that would be great, and kids could use it. You know, it's kind of a great thing to do that. And then he tells you about, you know, dude, someone did that. I was like, great. Well, we were talking about doing it, and take this and run with it if you want to, but taking that and putting that as every time you released it, you added the fairy tales back to the same world, so you had this kind of whole fairy tale world, kind of like what so then you can have crisscrossing these classic fairy tales where Jack has to go do something for Mother Goose or something, you know.
It's sure. Crazy. I've got it set up so, you know, there's a dead end when you don't quite make it to the market.
Right.
Because I'm not giving away spoilers if I tell you there's a guy that might give you beans for your cow, right? But so you can't quite get to the market, but there's the road could continue, and if he went the other way, you go through the forest, so easily can hook up with Hansel and Gretel. And yeah,
I have a 7-year-old, and we did the Save the Dragon Neverwinter Nights module, and she loved it. So I'll definitely will be downloading this one and playing it with her.
Yeah, dude, she should be able to play it by herself if she. The trouble is if they move with clicking. Then they have to back away so they don't keep attacking the giant who's chasing them.
Right.
Or they
well,
can.
Cool. I hope it does well, and I'm sure it will. I'm glad to see stuff like this coming out. Neverwinter Nights 1, even though it's at the end of its retail life, has a long life ahead of it still. So I'm just, to borrow from you, stoked to see some stuff like this still coming out.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'd be happy sometime to talk about building stuff for kids and things like that.
It's a great idea. We'll have to put that on our list, yeah.
Not to mention the trouble with building with Neverwinter Nights 2, but sour grapes.
And don't put dashes in your hack pack? Is that
it truncates them, so it goes up and takes them out.
Ouch.
And so then the mod doesn't see them. So then I had to tell everybody to take their hack back and insert the dashes. And then I sent up a zip with it in it, so it works now. If you zip it, it doesn't truncate things. So if truncate's the right word, I don't know. I didn't Google it and look it up.
Sounds good to me. Hey, Michelle, you want to let Johnny in on this? There's a 3D model contest going on.
The 3D model contest was done a while ago. Yeah. And I believe it ended in February. However, some of the entries came with an accusation of plagiarism. And I actually read this like a few days ago.
Okay.
And they have to review all of the authenticity of each model that has been accused of this. And it's delaying the outcome.
So not saying who wins until later.
So the announcements haven't been made, but all the submissions were finished a long time ago.
So I can't put in my Wild West buildings into this thing because it's already done, right?
No.
Right.
It's got a Wild West set. That would be awesome.
I'm trying, yeah. I need some cowboy hats. But yeah, it's tough. You can actually get cowboy hats, but you have to do them as what is it, cloaks. And so they don't move like your head moves. They move like your shoulders move, so it looks really weird. Speaking of models, model people would understand that.
Exactly, and I'm not a model person, so I'm totally lost. There are actually new things going on. The 1.12 patch is getting really close to being production. They've holding off on it because they're doing some work to prepare for the Ossian Mysteries of Westgate Adventure Pack, and that's kind of delaying them some. But they are making some progress, so they said we should see it sometime mid-February is what I'm thinking.
So, Michelle, who you interview this week?
I interviewed Eric Carlson, who is... has done Calm Before the Storm, the Surviving Horror Series 1 and 2, and A New Journey Begins. He is the master of horrors on Neverwinter Nights.
Oh, he makes great atmosphere.
Yes, he does. He makes fabulous atmosphere. I've played all the modules, and we did an interview, and we've gone international again. He's from Sweden.
Yeah.
And he also did he also did a fantastic reading for the show. And I enjoyed the interview quite a bit, and I hope everybody else does. Hi, this is Michelle, a.k.a. Liso, and today we have an interview with Eric Carlson, the module creator of Surviving Horror Series. Hi, Eric. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Would you like to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, work, school, hobbies, where you're from?
Of course. My name is Eric Carlson, also known as Barra on the Neverwinter Vault. I'm 20 years old, and I live in Sweden, which lies in Europe between Finland and Norway. I work on a company called Saft, which means... soda in English. No, in Swedish, sorry. And the different letters in Saft, which is S-A-F-T. I don't really know the meanings of the different letters. They've told it to me sometimes, but I tend to forget.
As long as they pay you, right?
Yes, exactly. And the thing we do is we are working with battery recycling. And it's not the average small batteries for your MP3s and such, but quite large ones, which are used in what is called a larger project, like in hospitals and such, large batteries.
Oh, okay. For backups.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And our work is to just cut them up and take care of what's inside. And that's what we do.
What are your hobbies? And
my hobbies are the most apparent one are module making, of course, and other games, video games, and such. And I like drawing art, which can be seen at some of my module pages, like Surviving Horror 2.
Mm-hmm.
I also like directing and movies, mostly horror movies.
And we'll get to that later on in the interview also. Eric's multitasking on his creativity.
Indeed. I do a lot of stuff.
How long have you been creating modules in the Neverwinter Nights community?
I joined the Neverwinter Vault at the end of the year 2003 and have created about 4 modules since. I actually experienced 3 major changes to the site layout of the Neverwinter Vault. And this doesn't happen very often. The first layout was green, I think. Then they turned it to brown and black. And finally, as it is today, as the Neverwinter 2 vault layout, which is a little light brown in the color. I've also experienced a couple of different ways of submitting content. And the way you submit content is today is not exactly as you submit the content a few years back. For example, when it comes to hack files, in the beginning you made an entry page for each hack file, but now you can add your hacks to one page instead of dividing it into different pages. I was a little puzzled at this since I still thought that they used the old system.
Mm-hmm.
And the modules I have created are Calm Before the Storm, which is my first module. And the sequel to that, which is called The New Journey Begins. And then, of course, the Surviving Horror series.
Mm-hmm.
And I had times that I've been on and off the community during these years.
As you know, I've already played, I think I've played all your modules, actually.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it's been a while, so I'm trying to remember, because I think the first one I played was at least 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes. It's quite a lot of time during.
Yeah. The Surviving Horror series was a hit in the community with its unique storyline and gameplay. Would you like to give our listeners a description of the series?
Indeed. First and foremost, the series was inspired by Capcom's Resident Evil series, but it was also inspired by other horror works ranging from movies to games or other such media. For those who do not know what Resident Evil is, well, it's simply a true nightmare with the living dead, or zombies if you prefer, taking over everything, and the only true goal is trying to survive and find an exit from the area you're in. And I simply wanted to bring horror to Neverwinter Nights. The first and second part differs a little when it comes to the main setting, though, where the first part was purely inspired by Resident Evil. The second part was inspired by both Resident Evil and the Silent Hill series. I'll get back to that more later.
Okay.
But the first part of Survival Horror Part 1 is for first-level characters with some kind of fighter-focused class, like Paladin, Barbarian, or Fighter. Both modules are mostly focused on good-aligned characters, but you can watch which sides more in Part 2. And now I'll do a brief description of Part 1 and then of Part 2, if that's okay.
That's great.
Surviving Horror 1 tells the story of a person that camps in a cave near a city called Loma. And when the person, or rather player, wakes up, he or she finds out that nothing is as it seems anymore. The area has actually been infested with flesh-eating monsters that stalk the player's every move. And the only true object of this horrific story simply to survive. And that's where the name of the series come from. In the game, you start out with a simple gear like a chainmail and longsword, and you just run and run, and the story progresses as you try to escape. Most monsters cannot be killed, so the only option you have is to run. Some monsters can be killed, though. You gain experience by progressing the story. By some monsters you manage to kill, and when you discover new areas. One special thing that they have included for this, I don't know if you remember them, Lisa, but there are some play tables called campfires in the first part.
Yes, I do remember.
Because these play tables can be used to heal all wounds. And that's quite needed during this adventure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Especially when you go up against monsters you can't kill and then realize, oh, you know, I really should have ran.
Exactly, exactly. Let's just run the hell out of here.
Exactly.
All right. Surviving Horror 1 features a few side quests as well. Like that if you can find a couple of secret items that you can gain. But it's mostly focused on the main story.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning you're just alone, but later on you might stumble upon other survivors. And if you want to find out more, then you have to download the play. And just let's go over to a little about Surviving Horror 2. And if you have anything you'd like to add, just put it in.
Okay.
Let's see. A brief description of the second part. Surviving Horror 2. The second part continues the events of the first part, where you finally manage to survive. Little did you know that the worst was yet to come, and the past you had left behind will come back to haunt you one last time. Where Surviving Horror 1 was mostly inspired by Resident Evil, this part was also inspired by Konami's Silent Hill. And I know you haven't played that one, Lisa.
No, I haven't.
But I'll give you a brief description.
Okay.
Those players who haven't played Silent Hill then knows what... those who have played Silent Hill knows what to expect, of course. But those who haven't played it, you will get a brief description. Silent Hill is a town that lies somewhere in the USA. If you travel to this town, you'll experience your worst nightmare as a reality. The areas you'll be traveling to consist of blood-covered walls and rusty fences and floors and other bizarre things that you can describe as a pure nightmare. One example, a scene taken from Silent Hill 3, is when the player enters an abandoned restroom and the player hears someone knock on the other side of the toilets. The player tries to open it, but it's locked. Then the player tries to leave, and the door opens suddenly. The player decides to check the toilet, then the player will see that there is no one there, and the toilet is covered in blood. Creepy, huh?
Yes, definitely. I think I have to play this.
Very scary, and I truly recommend it. And another thing is the use of complete darkness, which is I have used also in both Surviving Horror 1 and Surviving Horror 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been inspired from that series as well. And a little about the gameplay of Surviving Horror 2. Just tell me if you think it's too much or so. Or yeah, I'll just go on.
No, just do it. Go for it.
I do my thing.
Do your thing.
I do it. Experience is gained by defeating monsters and by exploring new areas. A new feature in the part 2 is that you are accompanied by two full-fledged henchmen, both personality-wise and combat-wise. This is one of the parts I am most proud of. The other part I am particularly proud of is the main villain, but I won't talk about that person since I think you should try and find out yourself. Anyway, back to the henchmen. The first henchman is a lawful good paladin woman called Jean Odrus. I don't know if you remember her.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. It's a quick description of her is that she's a sweet, kind, and beautiful woman that always gives you a smile if you look upon her. She believes in goodness and right, and she is the romance for May players.
Which you've recently added, haven't you?
No, that one was the, let's see, that one has always been in the module. But now comes the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
The second henchman is a chaotic good halfling wizard called Frogrin. He's confident and witty fellow that likes to joke around and so on. He is the romance for female players. This one is the one that I have added. And it was not featured in the beginning when I first released it. So that's a surprise.
Well, that means I have to go back and play and check it out.
Indeed. Let's see. And of course, the story and characters are much more developed in part two than they were in part one.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was a particular scene in a cave that took you into a very, very disturbing area. Yeah, and the music to it literally scared me. And I was like, oh gosh, what's happening? And I will have to say, Eric has done a fantastic job with atmosphere, and you truly get a sense that you are just immersed into this horror story, and I highly recommend it. I really do. I love things that scare me, and it's very rare that I get anything that makes me jump back a little bit, but when this music started in this particular area, I was like, oh, wow, I'm in for it now.
Oh, yes. Now there's no turning back.
Absolutely. Well, moving right along, and this is pretty exciting, what was it like getting the AME Award for Replayability, which you recently got?
Indeed. It was simply great. In a short sentence. It was actually like this. I had showed my interest in being a part of that group, but because I don't have as much time as I would like, then I have to decline. But I told them that I thought it was a good idea and so on. And then later on, they revealed what their categories would be, and then I thought, oh, I'm fucked.
We have to cut that out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no four-letter words.
Right. And then I thought, oh, I won't be able to win any of these categories. But imagine my surprise when I actually won it.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty amazing, if you ask me. I'm always looking for something different to play, I have nothing against the D&D Forgotten Realms or anything like that, but with the creatability of the modules, I really love seeing things that are different.
Oh, that's nice.
And I really look for these types of modules that are different, that aren't the same stuff over and over again. And this was one of the ones I found.
That's nice, because I really agree with you. special settings makes a module a lot more interesting. So I'm glad that you liked it.
Well, you're welcome. I personally found the run and die play in the game exciting, yet somewhat very difficult, because you really want to kill the bad guys regardless whether you should or not. How did you come up with this style of gameplay for the story, and was it difficult to float with the storyline?
I came up with this sort of gameplay because I wanted to create a sense of fear in the player.
Mm-hmm.
But not being able to kill your enemies, the only option left is to run.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes you the victim of the story. And it makes you become afraid of what you might be lurking in the darkness, because you know you probably won't be able to defeat it. So, of course, some enemies can be defeated, but That's what, the reason why I added this feature.
I think it's a great feature because, you know, as a player, you want to go kill all the bad guys. And not being able to and having that, well, I'm going to die if I don't run. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome. Did you use any custom content, hacks, music for this module? For these modules, rather?
Yes, of course. I would just like to add one thing to the previous question, if that's okay. When it comes to if it was hard to add to the flow of the story, then I have to say no.
Okay.
It wasn't really difficult because when you do something like that, then you don't have to really think about the stats of the enemies because you only have to create them as strong as so that they will be stronger than the player.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you have to think about. So I think it was pretty easy, actually. But fun, too.
So you make those types of monsters pretty much invulnerable?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And, of course, I increase the strength and so on of the characters so that they will hit the player more.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of hope, yeah. All right, so the next question.
Yeah, custom content, music, or hacks?
Yes, I have used hacks for them. The community expansion pack was used for part 2, as mm-hmm. well as some other menu things. But when I created Surviving Horror 1, the community expansion pack hadn't been released yet.
Ah.
Which is a good... let's see, what's the word for it? Well, it means my module is pretty old, if you...
Right.
That's the thing. Yes. And, of course, one of the more important things that I think should be included in the horror module to be able to make a creepy and terrifying experience is the music, as we were talking about.
Yes. You definitely accomplished that.
Oh, thank you very much. and that, in my opinion, music increases right music, if you understand.
Mm-hmm.
It increases the gaming experience by at least 100%, if not even more.
Now, music can be so atmospheric that it can draw you in and make you feel the area even better. So, yeah, I agree.
Great.
Neverwinter Nights 1 really started a fantastic community of players and modders. In your opinion, how do you feel about the move to Neverwinter Nights 2, and do you see it growing as Neverwinter Nights 1 did?
Well, I think Neverwinter Nights 2 is quite different compared to Neverwinter Nights 1. Of course, some of the music and voice chats have been converted to Neverwinter Nights 2, which creates a small feeling of the original, but it still feels like a completely different game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a good thing, I think. And one thing that has disappointed me a little is that I find tools of Neverwinter Nights 2 so much different than the tools for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Yeah, I heard that a lot.
Yes, you have. And that makes veteran module builders like me roll their eyes quite a bit. Why not try to make it as similar to the original toolset as possible so that Neverwinter Nights 1 module builders can build for Neverwinter Nights 2 as well?
Yeah, we had a roundtable discussion a few episodes back on this particular subject about the toolset and the different perspectives between Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2.
Right.
And we had a roundtable discussion with builders from Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, getting both perspectives. So it was an interesting conversation. Do you have any future projects in store for players in Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2?
Yes, I have a few projects, but regretfully, since I haven't been able to learn the toolset of Neverwinter Nights 2, there won't be a new module for that one for quite some time. But the good news are that I'm currently creating a new module for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Okay. Well, I still have it installed, and I still play Neverwinter Nights 1 modules. So, I don't find it to be dead, and there's still modules out there I haven't played yet, and I'm working my way through.
I agree very much. I don't think Neverwinter Nights 1's dead either. let's see, I will give you a brief description of the story of the new module.
Okay.
This module will feature a story of fantasy, which tells the story of a character known as Vincent, which encounters a strange crimson-colored jester and gets sucked into a whole new world with creatures of the likes you've never seen, ruled by a ruthless dictator known as the World Divider. And this story is not like the horror stories, Surviving Horror 1 or Surviving Horror 2. It will be more like Final Fantasy.
Oh, neat.
That's great. And my first module, Calm Before the Storm and A New Year Begins, which also a lot inspired by Final Fantasy. So now I'm back to that again.
Oh, great.
Is it okay if I give the, let's see, what's the name, the address to my homepage?
Absolutely. And if you want to email it to me, I'll make sure it's in the show notes also.
Oh, great. I'll do that then. Let's see. It's just, and the page can be found on my signature at Neverwinter Vault on my module pages, or you can go to ericlinecarlson.livejournal.com, and that's the page for.
And to find Eric's modules on the vault, you can do a search for either Barra or his full name, Eric Carlson.
Or you can even search for Barra's module collection.
Right.
I've collected all of my modules there as well.
Now, jump off the subject a little bit. I did some Googling and found that you have other interests outside making modules. I found a movie clip on YouTube, a horror scene, which is a short movie. Are you wanting to get into something like this as professionally?
Right.
Or is it just for fun?
First and foremost, I think it's great that you stumbled upon it. And since I was thinking to bring that up for this interview as well. well, the thought has crossed my mind, but as of now, this is only for fun. It could be compared to module making, but in the real world instead. At least that's how I like to see it. I simply like creating stories, and they create atmosphere and add fitting music and sound to it. Have you watched both of them? Because
I only saw one.
All right. Was it Silent Hill Darkness or Silent Hill Horror Truth?
The second one.
The second one, Silent Hill Horror Truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listeners can go to YouTube and search for my username if they want to see them. And my username is Barra870927.
I will also post the YouTube clips on the show notes for everybody to go see.
You're very nice.
Oh, it makes it easier for everybody. They can just click on it right from the show notes.
Of course.
Is there any... Okay, go ahead.
okay, Alia said that you can also search for Silent Hill Darkness or Silent Hill Horror Truth, but you will add that to the...
Yes, I will make sure it's added to the show notes.
It's great.
Is there any comments you'd like to add?
Yes, I have a few, actually.
Okay.
I think it's been great being a part of this community and being able to share my own work as well as play other games done by other members. That's quite an... How should I say this? Different experience compared to other games, because most other games won't let you create your own games or play other people's games. So I think it's very great.
I agree.
Yes. I've always wanted to create my own stories, either in game form or movie form, as seen on YouTube. And thanks to Neverwinter Nights, that has been possible. So my eternal gratitude and thanks to BioWare for creating such an incredible game, as well as all of the community, and to Obsidian for creating a sequel.
Yay!
Yay! Indeed, indeed. And one final thing. And I think, and I know that you're into this subject as well, Michelle.
Yes.
Let's see. I think people on the Neverwinter Vault should vote a whole lot more.
Yes, absolutely.
Just one example from one of my own modules, namely Surviving Horror 2. It has about 3,800 downloads. And can you guess how many votes? Yes, it's about 33 votes. That's quite quite different if you compare the downloads to the votes. So, and of course, it's not just on my own modules, but on most other modules as well.
No, so definitely, I agree. I've seen where there's just a ridiculous amount of downloads and hardly any votes or comments or anything, and got to keep these guys inspired to keep putting their work out for us to play for free. So go vote, go comment, let them know what you think. Just don't be rude.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be rude. You have to be nice.
Yes, I actually have mentioned this in a few interviews also, that I am very, very adamant on going and voting and commenting on games that I've played, because I want you guys to keep doing it. I mean, come on, you buy a disc and you play the main game, and then all of a sudden you've got thousands of games to play for free. So player appreciation, everyone.
Indeed, indeed. Let's see. And of course, by saying this, I don't mean that those who vote are, of course, they are appreciated, and they are very much appreciated. It's just that a whole lot of more people should vote.
I agree. If you can take the time to download, install, and play, take the extra minute that it takes to go and say, hey, great job, or whatever. You don't have to make it big and flowery. Just give them a vote and some encouragement to move on and to the next project.
And I know you and I, Michelle, always vote.
Yes.
And so should everyone else.
Well, we can't force them, but we can hope to encourage more of them to do so.
Encourage them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, Eric, I'd like to thank you very much for coming and doing this interview. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And the Neverwinter Nights community will appreciate it.
This call is being reported.
So,
sorry.
Cool.
So we should all go to Dave's because it's nice and toasty and warm there during the
no
day.
No doubt.
It was cold today.
Cold. Okay, it was 7 degrees here. Do I win?
Yeah. We had a 7. There was a 7
in our on my street.
There was a 7.
We did have a 7.
Okay.
I went to stop to let my daughter out of school and slid to the curb because I was on ice.
Cool. See, we don't get that. We don't get to experience any of that. When I lived in Colorado. But, oh, no, we miss it. We talk about how are we going to go see snow this year. So.
Yes, but Dave, much like having grandchildren, you get to spoil them and send them back. Well, much like visiting snow, you get to go home.
Exactly.
That's right. You're what, Ohio? Is that right?
I'm from Ohio. I live in Kansas.
Okay. Same thing.
I'm from up by Lake Erie. No, actually, Kansas, big difference.
In Colorado, we used to say, what did we say? Colorado doesn't blow, Kansas sucks. That's what it was.
Well, I'm from up near the Lake Erie area of Ohio.
And my dad lives in Elyria.
Ah, I used to, actually, I've lived there before.
He said it was like 7 today, so.
A little town close to there called Malaria.
Malaria.
No, that's in Thailand. Speaking of Trey, isn't that where he's going?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you want to wrap this up and we can then continue talking as long as we want to.
Don't forget. Okay, let's see.
Okay, go for it, Dave.
More, can I do the need more here part?
No, need more here.
Sure.
I'll let you do that. So don't forget about the Neverwinter Night podcast roundtables on, and we don't know. I don't remember when the dates are.
Yeah, I think you need more there, Jay.
I think you're right. Michelle.
Okay, February 10th at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time on TalkShoe. If you want to be voiced on TalkShoe, if you use their voiceover program, you will have to go in and register, create an account. It is completely free. No money, no strings. And you have to create an ID for yourself so that it can recognize you so that you can be voiced. Otherwise, you're going to be in the chat room. You can use your phone calling into TalkShoe also, and you can use Skype. However, it does cost money if you use Skype because it is calling a regular phone number.
So what day is that thing? I mean, the numbers mean nothing. Is that like a Saturday or is that a...
Sunday evening.
Sunday.
You had to work that in there somehow, didn't you?
You bet. The earth will shake. The ground will rumble.
Can I give a list of who we got coming so far?
Sure. Who's going to be there, Michelle?
All right. We have Lady Elvenstar, who is doing A Time to Die for Neverwinter Nights 2. Nail Answer, who is doing... what is the name of his module? I think it's the North Winds trilogy.
He'll be stoked.
We have... I know I'm going to butcher this. Ampriel, who is doing Zork, Z-O-R-K.
Wow, really?
We have Ernie Noah doing Hytham 2. Or Hytham. He already did it.
You guys know what Zork is, right?
Oh, yeah, Zork's been around forever.
I have. You know what? I'm just going to refrain from mentioning. We have Wraith Valdrin, who is doing, oh man, I'm going to butcher this.
He's S-O-L, doing men?
S-O-L, S-O-L-V-H-E-I-L, Sands of Sovheal series.
Solvheal.
Okay.
Sovheal. There you go. Solvheal. the sands of Solvheal.
Delac.
Spell it.
Delac. This is his name, Delac, D-E-L-A-K. And Johnny Ree, who is going to be speaking for Stygius. And I'm just going to kind of lurk. I'm doing the writing for Stygius. However, I am so not technical. And I'm going to get lost in the conversation. So if anybody has any questions about
right.
how long
you're
going to
get lost in the conversation.
Anyway, if they want to ask me how long did it take me to type 2 pages, I can give them that information. Otherwise, I don't have any technical input.
So how long did it take you to type 2 pages?
Oh, heck, I didn't know. I didn't keep track.
See, there you go.
See, I can't even answer that.
But see, the technical question for a writer, Michelle, is what was your inspiration?
Exactly.
My inspiration...
So you can prepare. See, it's not happening yet. You got like a week.
My own schizophrenic mind.
I'm excited for the next interview. It's going to be with the Neverwinter Nights Connections 2007 Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master, Skunkeen. He was the DM Hall of Fame inductee for April of 2007. He left us a listener hello, and if his personality is any way represented in there, it's going to be an interesting interview. Trey has already pulled that one together for him, so we will have that in our next episode.
Trey said he was just great. He said it was a fantastic interview.
If you've enjoyed this show and like to help out and get them maybe a mic or something, hit the PayPal donate link on their website. I guess that's our, is that our website?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's ours.
Can I say our? You know,
sure.
I don't know. Until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
Dude.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.